turning your Bibles, please, to Revelation chapter 5. We'll be reading from verses 8 through 14. Revelation 5, verses 8 through 14. And when he had taken the book, the four beasts and 24 elders fell down before the Lamb, having every one of them harps and golden vials full of odors, which are the prayers of the saints. Verse 9, and they sung a new song, saying, Thou art worthy to take the book and to open the seals thereof, for thou wast slain, and hast redeemed us to God by thy blood, out of every kindred and tongue and people and nation, and hast made us unto our God kings and priests, and we shall reign on the earth. And I beheld, and I heard the voice of many angels round about the throne, and the beasts, and the elders, and the number of them was 10,000 times 10,000 and thousands of thousands, saying with a loud voice, Worthy is the Lamb that was slain to receive power and riches and wisdom and strength and honor and glory and blessing. And every creature which is in heaven and on the earth and under the earth and such as are in the sea and all that are in them heard I saying, Blessing and honor and glory and power be unto him that sitteth upon the throne and to the Lamb forever and ever. And the four beasts said, Amen. And the 24 elders fell down and worshipped him that liveth forever and ever. We'll end our reading there. Let's pray. Our Father and our God, we come to thee today again, with fear and trepidation in our heart, but with love and joy in thy word, for thou art he who has done wondrous fine things for thy people, and we are they today. We thank thee for thy work in our behalf. We thank thee for thy love for us. We thank thee that there is no condemnation for them who are in Christ Jesus, the redeemed of the earth, and we're glad to say so. We pray in Jesus' name, and we give thanks to thee. Amen. In Revelation 5, the Redeemer resembles a lamb, not in appearance, but in character, regarding his work on earth, he was spotless, meek, and innocent as a lamb. The marks of his body show that he had been slain for the sins of the world, yet he bore the symbols of power and wisdom in his person. He resembles a lamb because of his moral attributes and because of his sacrifice, but not because of his form or his appearance. He was, therefore, worthy to approach the throne, to take the book from the hand of him who sat there. Him that sat there, John the Baptist, saw him as a lamb. It's in the Gospel of John, chapter 1, verse 29. John 1, verse 29. The next day John seeth Jesus coming unto him and saith, Behold, the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world. In Revelation, when he took the book, the living ones and the elders assumed the usual posture for worship. On earth, often when people saw the Lord Jesus, they fell prostrate before him to worship him. We note that in Matthew chapter 2, verses 1 through 11, and 1 Corinthians 14, verse 24 and 25. Matthew 2, 1 through 11. Now, when Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea in the days of Herod the king, behold, there came wise men from the east to Jerusalem. And then on down in verse 11, the Bible says, And when they were come unto the house, They saw the young child with Mary, his mother, and fell down and worshiped him. In 1 Corinthians 14:24 and 25, we find these words, 1 Corinthians 14:24 and 25. But if all prophecy, and there come in one that believeth not, or one unlearned, he is convinced of all, he is judged of all. Verse 25, and thus are the secrets of his heart made manifest. And so, falling down on his face, he will worship God and report that God is in you of the truth. Now, I don't really have an outline, but if you want to call this an outline, you can put down these next words. The Lamb is worthy to receive worship. The Lamb is worthy to receive worship. In heaven, when he had taken the book, the living ones and the elders do what is sometimes done on earth in worship of the one true God. They fall down before him. They prostrate themselves in profound reverence. They know who this one is who has taken the book from the hand of the Almighty. So the elders, perhaps with the living ones, with great reverence for the Lord, for the Lamb, break out in song and listen to the words of praise from them. This is Revelation chapter 5, verses 9 and 10. Revelation 5, 9 and 10. And they sung a new song, saying, Thou art worthy to take the book and to open the seals thereof, for thou wast slain and hast redeemed us to God by thy blood out of every kindred, tongue, and people, and nation, and hast made us unto our God kings and priests, and we shall reign on the earth. Let me repeat that last part. Thou hast redeemed us to God by thy blood out of every kindred, and tongue, and people, and nation, and hast made us unto our God kings and priests, and we shall reign on the earth. Did you get that? The elders are the redeemed in heaven. Perhaps they represent the Old and New Testament saints. But one thing for sure is that they are redeemed. Now, the question is, who are we? Are we not the redeemed on earth? Could we not sing this new song now? Well, we are redeemed ones, and we can take courage from the and comfort from these words. And if someone wants to put the words in verses 9 and 10 to music, I'll sing them. Not out loud, but I'll sing them. We are the redeemed on the earth, and he has redeemed us by his blood. Consequently, we worship him now. What a God we have. Our sins are gone because of his blood sacrifice. That's a truth worth singing, which we did when we sang When I See the Blood just a few minutes ago. Our sins are gone because of his blood sacrifice, and it is so very true that he is worthy. The Lamb is worthy to receive worship. In this chapter, the Lamb took the book from the hand of the Almighty. He did that because he is worthy when no one else is. Because he is worthy, what is his reward? Well, part of his reward is our worship. I like what Albert Barnes says here. Barnes wrote, all who are redeemed will agree in the sentiment that he who has ransomed them with his blood has performed a work to do which every other being was incompetent. And now all honor in heaven and on earth may appropriately be conferred to him. So the Lamb is worthy to receive worship. On Facebook last night I saw these words attributed to Billy Graham. Regardless of what you think of Billy Graham, these words are true. I have experienced it myself. Listen carefully. These words honor the Lamb. Graham said, I have never known a man who received Christ and ever regretted it. Usually I say it this way. I have never seen a Christian who isn't glad of it. As Christians, we honor Christ. We worship Christ because of his finished work. What other honor is due him? Notice the voice of the many angels. There they are gathered round about the throne, an unnumbered multitude, a minimum of 100 million angels. 10,000 times 10,000 is 100 million. So a minimum of 100 animals. Then there are thousands and thousands beyond that. They are all gathered there together. Barnes says they have a deep interest in all that pertains to the, what? To the redeemed. Angels have an interest in you and me. In Revelation 5, the angels unite with the representatives of the church of the redeemed. In other words, angels join with the elders, rendering honor to the Lamb. Did you know that since Old Testament days, angels have been interested in the redeemed on earth? Listen to the words of Peter. This is 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 10 through 12. 1 Peter 1, 10 through 12. Let me read that entire passage. Of which salvation the prophets have inquired and searched diligently, who, that is, the prophets, prophesied of the grace that should come unto you, searching what or what manner of time the Spirit of Christ which was in them did signify when it testified beforehand the sufferings of Christ and the glory that should follow. Now, verse 12, unto whom, unto the prophets, it was revealed that not unto themselves, in other words, they wouldn't see it, that not unto themselves, but unto us, they did minister the things which are now reported unto you by them that have preached the Holy Ghost unto you, preached the gospel unto you with the Holy Ghost sent down from heaven. Now listen up. Which things the angels desire to look into. Besides the 10,000 times 10,000, there is a vast, uncounted number of angels interested in the things of the redeemed, the elect people of God. They perhaps watch over you and me. I can't help but believe the Bible when I read what Paul wrote in Hebrews chapter 1, verses 13 and 14. Hebrews 1, 13 and 14. But to which of the angels, said he at any time, sit on my right hand until I make thine enemies thy footstool? Are they not all ministering spirits? These angels, are they not all ministering spirits set forth to minister for them who shall be heirs of salvation? Who is he talking about? That's you and me on the earth. Angels watching over us. Oh my, angels watching over me. These holy angels see me. Oh my. I imagine there are enough to go around, don't you think? Can't number them. There's so many. And here they are gathered round the throne on high. They join with the church victorious in worshiping the Lamb of God, the Lord Jesus Christ. Still, though there he is, a lamb as it had been slain, the sacrifice for sins done in the flesh. He is worthy. He is worthy. The Lamb is worthy to receive worship. Then I want you to know that the Lamb is worthy to receive power. He is worthy to receive power. Verse 12, Revelation 5, verse 12. Say with a loud voice, worship, worthy is the Lamb that was slain to receive what? To receive power. Because he's worthy, and because he was slain, he is worthy to receive power. And I believe the power received is all power. Matthew tells us in chapter 28, verse 16, and Jesus came and spoke unto them, saying, all power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. That's Matthew 28, verse 16. The Lamb has power and authority to rule all things. And part of his rule is his by virtue of his nature. So worship, honor, wisdom, glory, and riches are his. He is God. Then there is also a part that is his right because of his work. Listen to me. And I got this from Mitski the Lutheran. He said that because of his nature and because of his work, he has mediatorial dominion over the universe. Now, I look at that and say this. Man's sin affected more than just man. Man's sin also affected the world on which we ride as we circle around the sun. The Lord Jesus is the Redeemer of mankind, and beyond that, when redemption is complete, this world and all that is will be restored to its pristine pre-fall condition. And in that day, we will know what the pre-fall garden of Eden was like. The earth and its animals will be restored. Listen to me. The animals' pre-fall non-destructive natures will again dominate as animals no longer fear man and man no longer fears them or animals. Can you imagine, just imagine this, can you imagine walking up to a lion whose mane is big, bushy, and full? Can you imagine stretching out your hand and petting old Leo right on the head? What about this? What about old Grizz over yonder? His claws and his teeth are long and sharp when he comes out of the hibernation looking for a meal. I like bears. I always have. Don't know why, but I like bears. Anyway, that's enough of that. When creation is restored, what a day it will be. And it's all because of the Lamb's finished work on earth. He is worthy to receive power, and all power is his. When he was on earth, the disciples wanted to make him king. He refused their offer then, but here in heaven, he doesn't refuse the power, and there he stands worthy to receive that power. In Revelation 5, as the result of his work, he has mediatorial dominion over the universe, and truly there is one mediator. And he is worthy to be King of Kings, Lord of Lords, with royal power in heaven and on earth. And we could go on considering each of these items that he rightly receives, that rightly belong to him, in Revelation 5, verse 12. But I think you get the picture. Regarding his mediatorship, over all that is, he's unique. Listen to 1 Timothy 2, verse 5. For there is one God and one mediator between God and men, the man Christ Jesus. 1 Timothy 2:12. Our mediator is worthy of all things included in Revelation 5, verse 12, saying with a loud voice, worthy is the Lamb that was slain to receive power, riches, and wisdom, and strength, and honor, and glory, and blessing. There are seven things listed there in that verse for which he is worthy. He is worthy to receive. He is worthy to receive all of them. Power, riches, wisdom, strength, honor, glory, blessing. Perhaps there's more. It's just that there's nothing else listed. Then, we could also say that the Lamb is worthy to receive praise. He's worthy to receive worship, power, and praise. He is worthy of these things and more. We learn this truth after his sacrificial work on earth is done. And when he has ascended up into heaven, he has the scroll in his hands, and these things belong to him. The heavenly hosts acknowledge this truth with their praise. For example, we hear the heavenly doxology. The heavenly doxology, that is, Revelation 5, verse 12. I just named it that. the heavenly doxology, as the elders sing praise and glory to him. With the angels, they make up an unnumbered multitude glorifying the Lamb of God. This scene is in the glorious throne room above. But, listen to this, I believe that when he was here on earth, it was right that all these things were his back then, because he doesn't change. While he was on earth, therefore, before his ascension, he was worthy of all these things in Revelation 5, verse 12. And in Revelation 5, we read the heavenly doxology in verse 12. Now, he's no longer on earth in any physical form. Even so, at the Knox Reformed Church, we sing the earthly doxology Sunday in our service. Each Sunday in our service, we sing, praise God from whom all blessings flow. Praise all him, all creatures here below. Praise him above, ye heavenly hosts. Praise Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. Amen. I get the fact that the heavenly doxology in verse 12 is divinely inspired and that our earthly doxology is not. But if the redeemed in heaven can sing praise and glory to him, can the redeemed on earth not do the same? I think we can. In fact, I know we can. At Knox Reformed, we do that. We also sing the Gloria Patri. I like to sing that too. Glory be to the Father and to the Son and to the Holy Ghost, as it was in the beginning, is now, and ever shall be, world without end. Amen, amen. Now, if I could sing, I'd sing them to you, but I can't, so I won't. And I can hear the thoughts of your mind now thanking me for not singing to you. But notice something about these earthly doxologies. Both doxologies, the Trinitarian doxologies, that is, they are Trinitarian doxologies. Both glorify the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. Our Holy Spirit. At the Knox Reformed Church, we believe in the Holy Trinity, and we are not ashamed of our belief. Though we are not in the Orthodox Presbyterian denomination, we are Orthodox. And the Bible is our final rule of faith and practice. We also hold to the Westminster Confession of Faith as our secondary standards. Our motto here is, whatever the Bible says is so. I got that from Bob Jones University, and I like it, so it's our, we're importing it here at Knox Reformed Church. We are traditional and conservative in our beliefs and our practices. We are contemporary in the sense that we exist in this current moment. But we are not contemporary in our worship and song, because we know that he is worthy of true worship. We are theologically conservatives. In fact, if you want to call us fundamentalists, you would not be wrong. Because we believe the Bible. We believe the Bible. Again, whatever the Bible says is so. That's the Knox Reformed Church. And I say these things now to let you know who we are. We believe the Bible. And if you're looking for a Bible-believing church, check us out. We are at the Knox Reformed Church at 3324 Fountain Park Boulevard, in Knoxville, Tennessee, 37917. Again, we believe the Bible, and we believe that this scene in Revelation 5 is an accurate portrayal of what is about to happen. As the Lamb of God has taken the book from the hand of the Almighty, at any moment now, he will open the first seal. And things will change. Look at verse 12 again, Revelation 5, 12. Saying with a loud voice, worthy is the Lamb that was slain to receive power and riches and wisdom and strength and honor and glory and blessing, as the heavenly host sings heaven's doxology, creation joins with them to glorify the Lamb of God. Creation honors him, giving him power, riches, wisdom, strength, honor, glory, and blessing. It is a universal acknowledgement that he is worthy to receive these things. The Bible declares it so, and the universe sings it so. Look now at the last two verses in chapter 5. The last two verses of chapter 5. Revelation 5, 13 and 14. And every creature which is in heaven, and on the earth, and under the earth, and such as are in the sea, and all that are in them, heard I saying, blessing, and honor, and glory, and power, be unto him that sitteth upon the throne, and unto the Lamb forever and ever. And the four beasts said, Amen. And the 24 elders fell down and worshipped him that liveth forever and ever. Revelation 5, 13 and 14. Creation unites to pray, to render praise to him who sits on the throne and to him who is the Lamb of God. Every creature in heaven joins the angels as they sing praise to him. And all those on earth do the same, as John heard the mighty voice of creation sing praise unto God. Barnes says that this voice came from the heavens, from the earth, from the parts of the earth, from under the earth, and from the bottom of the sea to join the universal praise and adoration. It is universal description of praise to the Father and to the Redeemer. The universe partakes of the Spirit of heaven. Again, praise comes from under the earth, perhaps under the sea. Under the earth is the place inhabited by the shades of the dead, singing praise to him. And praise come from such as are in the sea. Centuries ago, God spoke to Jonah's whale. And perhaps God called that whale by name back in Jonah's day. But in Revelation 5, that fish's great, great, great grand fish, and I don't know how many great grand fishes that is, but that great grand fish from the bottom of the sea sings praise to the Almighty and to the Lamb of God. I don't know the language creation speaks, but on this occasion, when the Lamb takes the book, and when heaven prostrates itself, creation sings to God. And I believe the Lamb of God knows each voice. Now, this is not so far-fetched. Listen to the words of the psalmist. In Revelation 5, describes the fulfillment of Psalm 148. Revelation 5 describes the fulfillment of Psalms 148, verses 7 through 10. Praise the Lord from the earth, ye dragons and all deeps, fire and hail, snow and vapor, stormy wind fulfilling his word, mountains and all hills, fruitful trees and all cedars, beasts and all cattle, creeping things and flying fowl, kings of the earth, all people, princes and all judges of the earth. In that psalm, the universe is called on to render praise. And in the passage before us, Revelation 5, the universe does it. Creation declares the glory of its creator. Albert Barnes lists the hills, the streams, the floods, and the fowls of the air, the dwellers in the deep, and so on down to the songsters in the grove. And he lists the insects that play in the sunbeam, how they participate in glorifying their Creator, sending up a constant voice of thanksgiving for creation. Can you thank God for creation? For your creation? This is God's creation doing what God's creation is supposed to do. As Linda and I drive along the roadways of America, we often see a peaceful hillside dotted with cattle grazing on that which cattle graze on. And I say to myself that the cows are cowing. In other words, they're doing what cows are supposed to do. And that may be exactly what is going on in Psalm 148 and Revelation 5, as creation is in tune with its creator. Right now, because of man's sin, creation sings a sour note. We think it's beautiful, and it is to our ears. But it's a sour note, and that's because we are out of tune too. But when redemption is complete, the restored universe will sing in full harmony, lifting its song to our God and our Redeemer, the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, I can't write or compose music, but I can hear when a thing is out of tune with the orchestra. I may not be able to point it out, but I can detect the disharmony. One of these days, perhaps one of these soon days, There'll be no disharmony. I will live in that day because I am one of the Lord's redeemed. I'm on earth right now, but one day I know that I will be with the redeemed in heaven, and if you are redeemed on earth, you can have that knowledge too. But if you're not redeemed, you go to Christ right now. He will prepare you for that day right now. But to as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name. Let's pray. Father, we joy in thy presence, for it is you who brought us here this morning. It's you who had us open our computers and listen to this sermon. It's not me, Lord. But we thank thee. We thank thee for the grace that is ours in Christ. The people in this worship service and all across this nation, thank thee, O Lord, for what thou hast done for us. We pray, God, that thou wouldst bring a mighty revival to this land and right the ship of state. We pray that you would bless America again, that you put your hand back on this land in such a way that thy people might shine as bright light lampstands all over America, burning for thee. We don't ask for persecution, but if that's what it takes for us to shine for thee, we thank thee. Lord, we ask right now that thou wouldst do a miracle. And we ask it in Jesus' name and for his sake. Amen.